Accession number 31448, Mr. Roy Jones, Reel 12. So what happened next then? You've got out, you're around about December, Christmas time at Hong Kong. What then?
Then we sailed from Hong Kong to Japan. We sailed on the 27th of January, 51, and arrived at Sasebo on the 31st. We had no time there. The 2nd of February, we sailed from Sasebo to the west coast of Korea. And we were on operations there from, which wasn't long.
Now, were you aware, tell me what you knew of the Korean War. I mean, because a lot of people didn't know much about it then, never mind.
I didn't know a thing about it. I mean, when we joined the Belfast, all I knew, we were going out the Far East. I didn't know where. Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you, didn't even know where Korea was. So it was, you know, something and nothing really to us. We just knew that was where we were going and that's where we'd end up. So, as I say, we arrived. The first patrol we did.
Well, tell us what that first patrol, you probably remember the first one as well as any of.
Yeah, but it was very uneventful, the first patrol we did. It was pretty boring, really. It was 11...
What were you doing? What
11
it?
Days. All we were doing was steaming up and down the west coast of Korea. That's all we were doing, and you were closed up at, what did they call it? Where were we doing 4 hours on and 4 hours off. I can't remember. Cruising stations is four on and eight off, I think. Or is, I'm not sure now. But I know the watch was four on and four off. And it was pretty tiring, it was. And we didn't do any bombarding or anything on that one.
And how long did that last? That was
11 days, February, yeah. Then we arrived back in Sasebo for 3 days.
And what was Sasebo like?
First time I'd ever been ashore in Japan, that Sasebo. So it was really opened my eyes. Houses are very quaint and small. And you get the impression that if you started to run at the top of the road, you could run through the lot. I mean, through the walls. They were pretty decent with us, although you could see some of the older generation, particularly fellas a little bit older than me. You could see in their eyes they didn't really... They did, because it wasn't long after the war. Wasn't that long. And... whether there was any resentment there or not, I wouldn't know. But you got the feeling that there must have been a bit. But I think a lot of the fellas were taken up, especially if they were married, with the toy shops. It was amazing. With toys that I'd never ever seen before, clockwork toys. Honestly, they were incredible. And the things in the shops were just incredible. And when you found out what they were made of, I mean, lighters, you'd think, God, they're good. But they're only made out of beer cans. And that's what we found out later. One on board the ship stripped one, opened it up in the engineering shop. And all the outside was nicely chromed, but the inside, it was a Schultz's beer can. They'd still left all the paint and what name on the inside, because it didn't matter, it wouldn't be seen, they thought. But all things like that. Tea sets. I brought one home, brought one for my mother and one for the wife. I don't know where it is now, it's gone, I think. But China tea sets. They're the ones where you can pick the cup up, look through, and you can see the geisha girl in the bottom. I think everybody on board the ship bought a tea set or did the service, because they had a special place on board the ship, because they're all in wooden boxes, and they're all stowed in a particular place on board the ship for when we came home. So that was that there, and then we sailed for operations on the 18th
February.
Yeah. And this is where we had a big bombardment on this one at Wonsan, a place called Wonsan.
Do you know how you spell it?
W-O-N-S-A-N.
Two separate words.
Yeah. And we bombarded that for 2 days, 19th and 20th of February. And
what do you remember of that? What was it like during the bombardment?
Well, my action station was moved to a Beaufort alongside the bridge. And when you go in anything like this, bombardment, you're closed up at action stations then. So I'm closed up alongside the bridge. And you wear your wireless thing, your headset, listening for whatever. And when the 6-inch are going to start bombarding, you hear a ting ting, that's all you hear, like two bells, ting ting, and you know they're going to let go then. And me being alongside the bridge, and just forward of me was 2 6-inch turrets, A and B. And you hear ting ting, so immediately then your eyes start going, waiting. And woof! And all you can see is just black smoke. And this went on for 2 bloody days. Man, I wasn't closed up for 2 days.
And what was the noise like that close?
Horrific. Horrific. Because I couldn't put anything in my ears. Because I had a headset on.
Now, you weren't firing at all?
No.
Nothing to fire?
Because it was only 6-inch we're doing a bombarding. What had happened, I think it was, this was the place at Wonsan, where the North Koreans had walked across from the mainland to Wonsan. I don't know, it must have been some tidal. And they walked, was it there? Or am I getting mixed up with Changnido? Thing get mixed up there.
Okay, don't worry.
This was a 6-inch bombardment, that was.
And you didn't get any return fire?
No.
On that one.
No return fire. We only had return fire once. Then we, it was 2 days, then we back to Sasebo on the 21st. This is how daft it was. Then we sailed from Sasebo on the 22nd and back on operations on the 23rd, operations on the west coast of Korea again. From the 23rd of February to the 5th of March. And
anything happened on that one? That's the third one.
No, it was freezing bloody cold. The temperature on deck was 90.
Tell me about the cold, because it was very cold out.
Well,
there.
The temperature on deck then was 9 degrees Fahrenheit.
Now, what's that like? Because that sounds bad, but
it's about 21 below, isn't it, now?
So what was that like for you?
Well, we were issued with sheep skin lined gloves. Big ones. A leather cap that covered your ears, which was lined, and big long coats that come down to about your calf, which were lined, and a massive collar on them. You didn't go on the upper deck without any gloves, because if you touched any steel, your hands would just stick to the steel and just take the skin off. We had big thick boots with thick grey socks they gave us. So pretty, you got pretty cold really, though, because don't forget, if you close up at action stations, you'd know how long you're going to be there anyway. But one good thing with my action station, if I was on by the bridge and I sat at the in the Beaufort, I was pretty much encased round. You know, it was only me head sticking, you know, off. So that wasn't too bad. And when we didn't have to man the guns, I got one of the sparks on board to make a long lead, and it was plugged into the mounting of the gun. Come back, and it was like a little recess I could get into, you know, to keep warm if I didn't have to be man there. So that wasn't too bad. But the temperature, it was... Went to bed one night, and we got up the next morning, the whole sea had frozen over. It was just a solid block of ice all around us. So it was pretty cold.
Now what did you think of the Beaufort? Because we haven't really talked about the Beaufort before.
No. It was okay.
How did it compare with the Pom Pom?
It had a higher rate of fire than from what I can remember.
Smaller shell or bigger shell? I'm not quite sure.
A smaller one, I think. A bit smaller. Not much smaller, but smaller. But quite effective, though.
Was that in clips as well? Or in a belt?
You know, it's terrible, this.
It's all right, don't worry.
I can see the Beaufort's one as clear as a whistle, and I can't.
Which side of the bridge were you? Or were you?
I was on the starboard side. All Marines armament was the starboard side of the ship. That was the two twin 4-inch, and all the anti-aircraft on the starboard side was Marines. And of course, ex-turret, 6-inch was Royal Marines. So they were. So the operations there were, you know, some bombarding. It's pretty boring, really, because if you're not actually involved in it yourself, you're just sitting. Because there's nothing else for you to do, you're just sitting.
Were you aware that the ship had got quite a reputation for gunnery?
Yeah. It was pretty good, the 6-inch were. 6 and 4-inch were pretty good, yeah. I forget what they used to call us. Wait a minute. I think it's in here somewhere about that.
It's all right, they can read that and stuff.
Yeah. So that was that. And then came back on board, and they had the CNC on board at Sasebo one day there, the 13th, 12th of March. Then we went out again, operations March the 13th to the 20th.
Now, can I just ask you about a couple of people? Who was the captain? You know, a few personalities. Now,
the first one was Sir Aubrey St. Clair Ford was the first one. What a skipper that.
Now, everyone seems to like him.
Eh?
Everyone seems to like him. Now, what was
that
he like?
Man, when he cleared lower deck, when he was leaving the ship, he left us out there. When he cleared lower deck, I think he'd had a few gins, you could tell. But he cleared lower deck and to say ta-ra to us all. And of course, he'd been skipper there for quite a while. He was skipper of the commission before, I think. And he said how proud he was to have had a crew like he had, and what he thought about the Belfast. He said, what a lovely lady she is, and all that. And it's funny, you know, that bloody ship does something to you, you know. It's funny, but it just does something to you. I can't forget her. I can't forget her. It's funny, but that's it. She was such a happy ship.
I'll come back. But what about him? What was special about him?
He was a man's man, and he was always in the thick of it. He always seemed to be around, if you understand what I mean. Where a lot of captains, if you saw them once a week, you'd be lucky. But he was always around the ship. All right, boys, all right, lad, you know, and that was his type of doing. But I'll never forget him when he said that he was going, and told us who was coming. It was Captain Duckworth was taking over off him. And he said how proud he was and all the rest of it. And then he said, I'm going to promise you one thing now. He said, when you've finished your commission and you come home to Chatham, I will take your first line ashore. In other words, first line to throw ashore, he would take it. And of course, you know, all that to say, he bevied, take the notice of that. It's true, though. Which, I'll
now, what about Captain Duckworth? Do you know his first name?
No. I've just got A.C. Duckworth. I don't know his first name.
Well, they can look it up. What was he like in comparison then?
He was okay, but he wasn't... He was a bit more remote from the men than what Sir Aubrey was. And they all... The difference... I never knew his first name. Duckworth. But Aubrey, I don't know. Totally different, totally different. He was all right, Duckworth, but as I say, he wasn't, I don't think, he wasn't as outgoing as what Sir Aubrey St. Clair Ford was.
Was the ship less happy? Tell me a bit about the ship being a happy ship, you know, because the crew morale.
Crew morale was fine.
Under both?
Under both, yeah. That sort of didn't affect the crew morale. I mean, he was all right in his own way, Duckworth. But he wasn't as outward going as what Sir Aubrey St. Clair Ford was.
Now, any characters you remember? Officers, petty officers or men from that time? Names might be difficult, I know it's long.
Do you know, for the life of me, I can't even think of the name of our the Sergeant Major we had on there.
Well, tell me a bit about Sergeant Jimmy James then, because he's going to get killed, isn't he? So,
he
what was he like?
He was only little. He was only little, but he was, he spoke with a very, what did my mate always used to say? Oh, that, what was it? Oh, God, I can't think now. He was an MTI, he was a drilling, a DI rather. He was a drill instructor, Jimmy James. And
what was he like?
He was very strict, but fair. And he always have a laugh and a joke with him. Of course, I suppose in the circumstances out there that you never knew what was going to happen. He was brilliant. He was. He really was. And typical of him. I remember when we were in a typhoon. Ruth, the name of the typhoon was. And all the 6-inch shells had come out of the bays in ex-turret shell room. And he just come down to the mess deck and he went, you and you, and I was one of the yous, ex-shell room now. I just opened the shell room door, it was just like looking down in it, it's a lot of coal. The bloody shells were all over the place. But he was down there with us and you know, helping us, trying to get them back in the bays, and because they weren't tied in, they couldn't be tied in, and all they had was like it was rope about a foot long with a ring on each end, and they used to, you'd put the shells in and they used to go over the top of the shell that way and one that way crossways to try and hold them together. But the same with the weather, like the weather was in that typhoon, the bloody things were all over the place. But Jimmy James as a man, as a sergeant in the Royal Marines, was strict, but he was very, very fair. Yeah, he was a good lad, Jimmy James.
Did you have any particular pals?
Yeah, I had Jack Jones, Dave Snelling and Les Sharp, three Marines. In fact, the three of them were at my wedding when we come home.
And what were they like? Why them? Why were they your particular?
I don't know. They were all... Oh, no, Dave wasn't. Les Jones... Jack Jones was on the same mess as me. And Les Sharp. Dave Snelling was on the next mess. It was... Dave Snelling was in the tug-of-war team, so that's why... with him. And I just sort of palled up with the other two. And we hit it off right away, the four of us. In fact, what we used to do, we used to pool our wages. We used to get paid once a fortnight. And all the money had go in one pot, didn't make any difference how much you got. You know, if one got more than the other, it didn't make any difference. It went in the pot. And then if you, whoever smoked took the money out and bought the fags for the fortnight and toilet gear and all the rest was done properly. And what was over, we spent ashore on a, but we'd done it that way, and that way we got on fine together. But we were four good mates, no two ways about that. In fact, I kept in touch with Dave. Jack seemed to drift away, although I've spoken to him only once. But Dave has been here. I think it was 50 years since I'd seen him. And the phone rang one night and it was him. He said, "Do you know who this is?" I said, "No, but the accent rings a bell." A Brummie he was. He said, "If I said HMS Belfast, would you know?" And it hit me then like a ton of bricks. Bloody hell, Dave, how are you? So he invited him down. I went to meet him at Woodside. It was brilliant, it was. And of course, Les Sharp, he was a good lad.
How did the Marines get on with the sailors, the ratings, and the...
Funnily enough...
And the, what you call them, stokers, sorry, stokers.
Yeah. The best, I think, the ones on the Belfast seemed to favour mostly was the stokers. I don't know why. But they seemed to get on with stokers more readily than anybody else. Although we didn't have any trouble with any of them. Because there was quite a few Scousers on board the Belfast. Not one of the divers was a Scouser. One of the divers used to have on the Belfast. You know, that used to wear the old-fashioned diving belt things. And then one of them was a Scouser.
Did you mix much with the stokers and the ratings then?
Oh, Marines? Yeah, we used to have a drink with them ashore. Didn't mix much with them on board ship because you never had time to mix with them much. You'd speak to them. And that, but you were all busy through the day. You had your part of ship to keep clean and jobs to do, and so there wasn't much time.
But there was no trouble.
There was no trouble. No, there was never ever any, as far as I'm aware, no infighting whatsoever with the Royal Marines and the Matlows on the Belfast. They had a good Royal Marine detachment on board there, I must say. In fact, we did well with sport on it, I'll tell you.
Football and... That'd be a bit later, would it?
Yeah.
Now, so what about the... Is it the fourth mission that you were... Sorry, because we just did a bit of general stuff there. What the next time you went out? The one after the One Sand bombardment. You're looking at the little... souvenir thing from HMS Belfast from that.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, because it's easier for me.
Of course,
because all the dates and everything are here. We had that. Then we left and sailed for Yokosuka on the 22nd of March.
Where's Yokosuka?
In Japan, and we had Easter Sunday in Yokosuka. And that was just went ashore for a bit of sightseeing and whatever, that was that. Then we sailed back to Sasebo. We were in there for 3 days. Then we sailed from Sasebo for operations on the west coast of Korea. And we were there from the 30th of March. Oh, then we went on operations... 30th of March to the 4th of April. That was just the normal patrols. A lot of it was dull, you know, just patrols. April the 4th, we sailed for Hong Kong. And we were there till the 11th. We sailed from Hong Kong to the 11th, on the 11th of April. Then we sailed from Hong Kong to Sasebo. We left Sasebo, arrived on the 13th of April, left on the 16th of April. Then we were on operations the 17th to the 29th off the west coast of Korea. Then we sailed, arrived Sasebo on the 30th of April. May the 2nd we sailed for the east coast of Korea this time, and we met the US 7th Fleet. And incidentally, we were flagship of the US 7th Fleet. Met them there.
Who was the admiral you had aboard then? If you don't remember it, isn't it?
Got him here. The commander-in-chief of the Far East Station was Admiral the Honourable Sir Guy Russell.
And what was he like? Would you meet someone like that? I know he was on board, but...
These were the ones, these were on board. There was Rear Admiral Scott Moncrief. He was a flag officer. He carried his flag on the belt. Scott Moncrief. Never met them, though. Never met them.
So really, they had no impact on you?
No, none whatsoever.
So what happened next then?
So we met the US 7th Fleet and we were only with them 2 days. Then we left, arrived at Sasebo, then we sailed from Sasebo, arrived in Hong Kong, sailed from Hong Kong to Singapore, and we moved into HMS Terra, the barracks, because she's in Singapore for a refit then. From May the...
No, this is just a routine refit. You hadn't been damaged at that point.
No. She was in from May the 12th to the 17th of August. In which time, I volunteered to go up to 4-2 Commando in Malaya to save being on board from June, July and August. May, June, July and August.
Now tell me about this attachment to 4-2 Commando then.
Well, they asked for...
Where were they?
They were in Ipoh in Malaya.
E-P-O?
I-P-O-H, I think it's spelled.
Oh, sorry, yes, of course it is. Yeah, I'm not thinking. Yeah. I-P-O-H, right. Yeah.
And...
How did you get there?
Truck. They asked for volunteers, and I thought, well, I'm not going to sit around here in barracks in Singapore for... 3 or 4 months. So I volunteered and we went up to 4-2 Commando, and I think I went with X Troop, I think. And
what was the situation when you got to IPO?
Well, we were issued, already got jungle greens. We already had them. And when we got there, we obviously... When we left Singapore, we had a bandolier of 50 rounds of ammo. Rifles were loaded for the journey up because you didn't know whether you'd get attacked by any of these communist bandits then on the way up or what. So we arrived there at night. And funnily enough, the company we were with, I walked in and there was Fanny Adams. He used to be one of the cooks at Eastney Barracks, so I knew him, right? You know. And he was a good mate of mine. And they let us, showed us our tents. We got our heads down that night.
How did they receive you? Because you, I mean,
no problem. That was 4-2 Commando. I mean, you're all Royal Marines.
So they didn't, you know, because you were sailing, you were at sea, they were ashore.
Yeah, no.
Didn't make any difference.
No, because, you see, this is another thing that bugged me a little bit about the Royal Marines in them days. Some of the people that with the Commando Brigade used to call us Blue Marines. And it was, I was a little bit miffed about all this, because you all went through the same training. You all did your commando training, no difference. And you were sent where the Corps thought you were of best use. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, all right, with me, with doing a bit with naval gunnery, that was where I was sent. But anyway, we get there.